Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook, and go to warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy for Warriors Sound. We're going back to January 2nd, 2015, the Warriors hosting the Toronto Raptors, and here to help us remember that game, longtime voice of the Raptors, Eric Smith. And Eric, you know, this was a big game, January 2nd, 2015. The Warriors were having off to the best start in franchise history, and they were the top team in the Western Conference. And here comes Toronto in town, the top team in the East. And, of course, the Warriors being a charter member of the league, the Warriors had never played the top team in the East while being the top team in the West since 1976. So this was a big game. I remember looking forward to this game. I thought it was going to be great fun.
Yeah, so did I. There was definitely one of those, kind of thoughts in your mind going in, Tim, where you're circling that one on the calendar. I mean, it was a big deal because, you know, Toronto has been, you know, one of the more consistent teams in the league now for X number of years. They've been a regular playoff contender, let alone playoff, opponent, period. But it's a much different case when you're almost at the halfway point of the season, just past the one-third mark, I suppose, of the season, and you're tops in the conference. You're trying to hold off Atlanta, and you guys are kind of in an early season dogfight for that number one slot, and then you're staring down the barrel of going up against the top team in the West. And similar to the other game I know that we spoke about in one of our other shows here, one of our other appearances, the Raptors coming into this ball game, not a lot of success in Golden State, 9 straight losses in Golden State. I believe the Warriors going into that one had 9 straight wins at home. So you knew one of the streaks is ending, one of the streaks is continuing. Which one is it going to be? Who's going to have that number 10 in which column? And hopefully, if you're a Raptor fan, from my perspective, it's not 10 straight losses in Golden State. And, of course, it turned out to be that way. And I think what kind of stood out for me right from the get-go was, as much as we were all circling this and looking forward to it, the way that Golden State jumped out with 40 points in the first quarter, Toronto puts up 31 on the road, that's pretty damn good. But when you give up 40 and Golden State seemed to be scoring at will, it was certainly kind of an air out of the balloon very early in the game for Toronto, where obviously, yet again, they had to kind of mount a comeback, or at least attempt to mount a comeback and climb that hill.
Yeah, they had a 12-0 run, the Raptors did, in quarter number two. So at halftime, it's 66-61. And, you know, I'm thinking this is like an old ABA game. You know, we're going to have the red, white, and blue ball out here, and it's going to be 145 to 144. The Raptors came in 24-8. The Warriors were 25-5. And this also turned out to be the first career triple-double for Draymond Green. He had been inserted in the starting lineup earlier in preseason that year because of an injury to David Lee, and the Warriors got off to this tremendous start. From afar at that point, do you remember your thoughts on Draymond? Because he is, you know, and can be a polarizing player to opponents and opponent fan bases.
Yeah, you know, I think that I've always, like, I actually didn't remember that was his first career triple-double, so thanks for the reminder on that one, Sam. Again, I'll kind of reference as just even a fan of the game, I've always appreciated and respected what Draymond does. Because, listen, even some of the antics and even some of the conversations and the demonstrative nature at times with either whether it be fellow opponents and the opposition, or more specifically the officials, I don't necessarily mind that. Because not only do I like to see some personality in the league, but I've always believed in, listen, I'm not a GM and probably never will be. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee I never will be. I don't want a team that's just full of all choir boys. I think that every team needs a little bit of an edge, a little bit of sandpaper. You can't have the exact same guys, the exact same personalities. It can't always be, you know, the nice guys. You need to have some guys that have a little bit of fire, a little bit of edge. And, you know, like, how much did we even all just appreciate rewatching The Last Dance and seeing the great Bulls teams and watching Jordan and then seeing how a guy like Dennis Rodman can stand out? And I don't know if it's fair to completely put Draymond Green in the same category as Rodman, but just using that slight comparison of having a guy on your team that maybe brings something different. And that something different, in my opinion, can still be an it factor. We often talk about the it factor being the scorers or the guys that rebound like crazy, the guys that defend like crazy. Well, hey, guess what? You've got that all wrapped into one in a player like Draymond Green. So To me, he's a guy that you want on your team. He's the type of player you want on your team. And if I could draw the current day example, I think some people in Toronto have made comparisons, fair or not, with Pascal Siakam to Draymond Green. And I think Siakam, in my opinion, has a bit more of an all-round offensive game, and Draymond certainly has a better defensive game at this point. But I think that's where the Raptors kind of see this type of player that can run the floor, that can pass, that can shoot, that can spot up from three, that can defend, that kind of has that energy that you're sort of looking for. And I think that's where Toronto might have a loose example here, or a loose comparison, that type of guy in Siakam.
I think it's a great comparison, and I'm eagerly awaiting to see what he looks like in the next few years, because I think he's going to get better and better and better. The Warriors had a 30-7 run that started late second and went into a third. This was starting a trend for the Warriors. They would come out of the box at halftime ready to go, and they put the game away in the second half. But it was also interesting. This was a night for guys that usually don't get the headlines to shine a little bit. Most Spades for the Warriors ended up with 26, and Grievous Vasquez had a great game. He had 25 points that night as well.
Yeah, and I believe, in looking back to that game, and I didn't recall this at the time, but the Raptors didn't have DeRozan playing that night, so it certainly opened the opportunity for others to step up from a Raptors perspective. And Vasquez is one of those guys where, to kind of let your audience in on the Raptors fan side of things here, Tim, Vasquez is always sort of the, I was going to say punchline, and that's not fair to Gravis. He is the answer to the trivia question. That's probably a better analogy. He's the answer to the trivia question that ultimately leads to Norm Powell. Because Gravis Vasquez was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks on draft night for the pick that ultimately turned out to be Norm Powell, but also a second pick acquired in that trade ultimately turned into OG Anunoby. So as good as Gravis Vasquez was, and he was very good, he was a solid player for the Raptors, whether it be coming off the bench or even as a starter for Toronto. He had a very good, albeit short, run with the Raptors, and was certainly a key contributor in the postseason for that club as well. But he will now, be most remembered, fortunately or unfortunately, for being the guy that turned into two mainstays for the Raptors now, two champions in OG Anunoby and Norm Powell. But to your point as well, but even just from a Warriors perspective, most Spades. I thought David Lee as well, the guy that I always loved, when he was in the league, and especially going back to the New York days, I thought he was a solid pickup and a great addition for that Golden State team, the perfect complement to that club, especially in his later years as a veteran on that squad that could do so many different things. And, as I think about transactions and acquisitions here, Tim, I'm reminded that on the other show that we taped when we were talking about one of your other, great Warrior games from years gone by and all these recaps you're doing, the last show we did when we were talking about the 27-point comeback for the Warriors back in 2013 over the Raptors, 2 days after that game, or two games later, was the night in which Rudy Gay was traded, and that was the massive trade that the Raptors, where they sent out Rudy Gay and Aaron Gray and ultimately get the package coming back from Sacramento that was Patrick Patterson and Graves Vasquez and John Salmons and whatever. So that trade may have been triggered by the Raptors losing to the Warriors, having a slow start to the season, and all of a sudden we fast forward now to 2 years later, and here we are talking about this game with the number one in the East, the number one in the West, and a whole new complement of players that just 2 years earlier was a much different look for the Raptors. So it's funny how kind of you can draw these sort of 6 degrees of separation to games or players of previous seasons, and to see how quickly in the NBA things can change.
Nah, absolutely, absolutely. Lou Williams came off the bench that night for Toronto at 20. Stephen Curry with 32 points and 12 assists. We mentioned Draymond, triple-double, 16 points, 13 assists, and 11 boards. 26 for Mo Spates. Klay Thompson had 20 and did not take a free throw there, and David Lee with 12 off the bench. Again, the two teams that were kind of on the rise right there and atop their respective conferences. Eric Smith, I always like talking round ball with you. I appreciate your time, and I hope you and your family stay safe and look forward to hopefully hearing your call on a playoff game. maybe later on this summer.
Tim, I appreciate it. All the best to you and your family and to all your listeners and viewers as well. I appreciate that. And fingers are crossed that if it's safe to do so, we can get back on the court and see some NBA action. So thanks for having me.
Signed, Tim Roy for Warrior Sound. We hope that you have been enjoying our broadcast of Warrior Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. For future broadcast and for information on future programs, go to warriors.com for all the details. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.